Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Luke chapter 10, verse 25. We appreciate those of you who are watching online this morning and invite you to take your Bible as well, Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. We're going to be talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan, and just want to do a different take on it this morning. I know you're all familiar with the story, such a great story that Jesus told. So let's read the word and then we'll jump into it. It said, on one occasion, an expert in the law, that is a lawyer back in the day, they studied the Old Testament law. It's not a lawyer like we think of today, but they studied the Old Testament laws. There were 613 of them. And then the Jewish people, as they had progressed, had added more laws to it. So there were a lot of laws. And they were always testing people when they would claim to be a rabbi. They would test them with the law. Are you matching up with the law? And if they missed in one spot, you know, they wanted to crucify him, which is what they ultimately did with Jesus. So on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, what is written in the law? And he replied, how do you read it? And he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, you've answered correctly. He replied, do this and you will live. But the lawyer wanted to justify himself. You see, he was trying to trap Jesus. That was the whole intent here. And when he realized that Jesus had just embarrassed him in front of everybody, right? He called him out, basically. He tried to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, he said, well, who's my neighbor? Once again, he was trying to trick Jesus and trap him into some words that he couldn't take back. And in reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Anybody here ever been half dead? Anybody had COVID and you felt like you're just going to die, right? Half dead, mostly dead, right? well, this guy was left half dead. I often wonder which half was dead. Was it divided this way, left or right? Or? Yeah, anyway, those are things I ask in my head. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. So too a Levite. When he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. These are religious people. They were perhaps going to church. The word we would use is church. They were going to some synagogue meeting or the temple. They were in a hurry somewhere, and these religious people, pastor maybe a worship leader, that's what the Levites were. They were the worship leaders in a church. So the pastor and the worship leader walked by, and when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan. Now, Jesus is telling this story to Jewish people. Jewish people hated Samaritans, and Samaritans hated Jewish people. It's a long history. I don't want to go into it this morning. It'll take too long to explain. But they hated each other, basically, right? And so Jesus used the word Samaritan because at that point, the lawyer is going, I don't want to hear this story. Why are you bringing those people into it? Why are you even letting those words come out of your mouth, the word Samaritan? All right, so he's jostling the lawyer here. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Notice he didn't use the word Samaritan. He's not going to use that word. It's not going to come out of his mouth, right? The one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise, right? So, the last couple of weeks, I've talked to you about end-time conversations, and I've shared the scripture with you about that and what it looks like and where we are in that timeline. We're somewhere between now and when Jesus comes back. Amen? We don't know when, but... And we're in that season around the world where everything's just at unease. We've got several wars going on. We've got crazy things happening, and people are hurting. There was an article that came out this week that said some billion people, extrapolated around the world, are lonely. a billion people out of 8 billion people, with all the connectivity we have with phones and internet and so forth, people are lonely. Are you lonely? Right. And so lonely people, they need encouragement, right? Everybody needs encouragement. And so as we're entering this crazy time in our world where we really don't know what's going on, nobody really knows if it's Jesus coming back, World War III, or if this is just a dust up and it's going to settle out in a few more months, right? We don't know. So what do we do in that meantime? And I keep bringing this up to us because it's important that we live our lives today just like we are going to live our life tomorrow, just like we lived our life yesterday. We don't live in fear, and we don't run and hide in a cave or behind a tree somewhere and go, oh, woe is me, what's going to happen next? We live our lives, right? This is not a time for Christians to shrink back. It's not a time for us to hide and moan and whine and complain, right? It's a time to stand up and step forward and do something. My daddy used to say, he said, son, do something, even if it's wrong, right? And that's how he'd say, son, do something, even if it's wrong, right? And what he was trying to say is quit being lazy, right? I think is what he was trying to say. And so that's my encouragement this morning, is let's do something, right? But let's do something right, right? Let's do something, but let's do something right in the midst of everything. So I've got this sentence, and it spells the word ceramic. The word ceramic, right? You've heard of ceramic tiles, it's ceramic cookware. Did you know that the space shuttle, when it was operating, that the tiles on the outside of it were made of ceramic? Did you know that? Right? Because it can withstand so much heat. And what is ceramic? It comes from a Greek word, which really means dust and dirt mixed together. Dust, dirt, and water mixed together to make ceramic. And we are the dust of the earth. You and I are the dust of the earth, right? And the Bible says we're given this treasure in jars of clay. Right? Ceramic jars, basically. Dust and dirt and water mixed together, right? And hardened. Hardened over time. And so I'm calling us to be the ceramic church, the ceramic Christian, right? I'm calling us to have this tenacity about us, this strength about us, this unwillingness to bend to the world's ways. I will not bend. I will not bow, right? I will stand firm. That's what I'm calling us to. And I'm using this passage as showing us how we do that, one way we do that. So the word ceramic stands for Christian empathy, response, and ministry in crises. Crises being the plural word because there's multiple crises going on. Christian empathy, response, and ministry in crisis. How do we respond every day to what's going on? Well, first off, you have to be a Christian. That means you need to be born again. So I'm going to ask you this morning, are you trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation? Are you? Those of you listening online, I'm asking you this morning, are you trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone for your salvation? Oh, I hope you're saying yes. And the second thing is, as a Christian, we are born again, but we're also Spirit-filled. Do you desire the Spirit's filling this morning? Do you wake up every day and say, Holy Spirit, fill me today for the tasks that are ahead of me today? That's the only way we're going to make an impact in this world, is by the filling of the Holy Spirit, by asking Him to work in us and through us and around us and about us. And if you're watching online, I encourage you every morning, wake up and say, Holy Spirit, fill me up with what I need to have today to meet today's task. So in the story of the Good Samaritan, when he started out on his day, he was going from point A to point B, just like you will be today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. You've got a point A, you wake up, you got a point B, whatever that is. It may be work, it may be a doctor's appointment, it may be going to the grocery store, you've got an appointment, right? This man was going from point A to point B, but all of a sudden he got interrupted. His day got interrupted. And that's how God works in our lives. If we're trusting in the Holy Spirit, we will see the interruption when it comes our way. We will notice it, maybe from a distance. Oh, I think I'm supposed to go talk to that person. Oh, I think I'm supposed to share Jesus with that person. I'm supposed to help that mom whose baby's crying in the buggy while she's trying to check out. I'm just going to go talk to the baby and calm the baby down, right? Our day will be interrupted if we're in the Holy Spirit. Plan your day with an eraser, right? Pencil and eraser. This is where I'm starting. This is where I'm heading. God, what do you want to do in between? So we see him interrupted. But not only was he interrupted, He was equipped. He was equipped for what was needed for that day. When he shows up, the man has been beaten, half dead, he's wounded, and the Good Samaritan had oil, right, to anoint him with. He had something that could heal him. Back in the day, they poured oil on everything, and it would sanitize it. It would keep it from getting infected. And so he had some of that with him. Why did he have oil with him? I don't know. Maybe he woke up that morning, the Holy Spirit said, take some oil with you. Right? Maybe the Holy Spirit will wake you up in the morning and say, take a $20 bill with you and stick it in your shirt pocket because you're going to give it to somebody. Right? Trust the Holy Spirit. Just trust the Holy Spirit. This man, this Good Samaritan, woke up and took what he thought he needed for his journey. And it just so happened that everything he had was what he needed when that time came. And if we're trusting in the Holy Spirit, whatever we have will be with us in that time of need. And I promise you, every woman in here is prepared for any event. Just look at the size of their purses. Right? Yeah. Amen? You tell a woman, I need this. Hang on a second, I got one of those. I need it. I need four of these. I got six of them. Here's six of them, right? I need a paperclip. I got three of those right here somewhere. Just give me a second. You know, the Holy Spirit equips us for the day. He equips you. Trust Him. He's already given you all the gifts and abilities and everything you need. Trust Him with the day. So first off, we need to be a Christian, right? Secondly, the second word in this sentence is we need to have empathy. Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of others. Empathy is the ability to understand and share in the feelings of others. Sympathy is, oh, I'm sorry, bless your heart. Right? Bless your heart, right? We all know what that means in the South, right? Some of you listening online, you grew up in the South, you know what that means, bless your heart, sympathy. Empathy is, what if that were me laying there? What if that were me laying there half dead and needed help? Who would I want to come along and help me? Who would reach out to me? And we'd be laying there saying, am I even worthy to be helped? You might even say, can I even be helped? You might say, am I at the point of death? Empathy reaches in and thinks, what is this person going through? We as Christians must be like Jesus. The Bible says that he looked on the crowd and had compassion for them as a sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had empathy for him. He looked on him and said, I see your need, right? At the death of Lazarus, we see Jesus greeting Mary and Martha. And what's that shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept, right? Hey, if you're just starting out memorizing scripture, start with that one. John 11:35. Two words. You got this. You can nail it. He wept because he had feelings. He had empathy for the people standing around. And he had empathy for his best friend who was going to call back from the grave, who was already in God's presence. He had empathy for him because he was bringing him back down and putting him back on earth, something Jesus was acquainted with. He too had left heaven and come to earth. He knew that Lazarus would have to die again. He had empathy for the whole situation. We must have empathy, because if we don't, we won't respond right, which is the third word here. That is, respond. In 1 John, we're told that let us not love in word, right, in speech, but let us love in action and in truth. Amen. Both of those are important. We need to love in action. Oh, here's something. Let's do something. I need to do something. Do something, Jim, right? Do something. But I need to also do it in truth. And the truth is what we'll get to in just a second. We're called to do something. In Romans 12:13, it says, share with God's people who are in need. And we're also to share with others who might be our neighbors. I think sometimes we get jaded. I know I'm guilty of that. We get jaded with helping people. I've helped a lot of people. But I've helped some people that didn't need help who were just conning me. And I've given the farm away, you know, to folks, and only to find out later what happened. I was this was years ago in another state, I was at the drive-up window. I was going to get a hamburger and some fries. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking in my rearview mirror. I've got my window down. And I see this guy walking up to my truck from this side. And he's going to come to my spirit said, he's coming to your truck. Get ready. So he walks up. He says, I need money. I'm hungry. I said, well, let's just go in and I'll buy you something to eat. No. I just need some money for. And of course, in my mind, the Holy Spirit's saying, you know what he needs it for. Yeah, drugs or alcohol, one or the other, right? And so I gave him some money. I gave him a $20 bill because that's what God had told me to keep in my pocket to give to people. I gave it to him. A couple of weeks passed, and I'm visiting with some folks, and the story comes up about this guy walking around hitting people up at the drive-up window. I said, yeah, I ran into him. And they all stopped and looked at me and said, did you give him $20? I said, I did. How'd you know that? I hadn't told anybody. He said, well, we ran into the guy, and he said, yeah, some bozo gave me $20, and I went and bought liquor with it, just laughed out loud and everything. Because I gave it to him in the name of Jesus, and I told him this is the name of Jesus. I did the right thing, period. Whatever he does, that's on him. We must respond. If we're gonna weather through what's coming in our country and around our world the way it looks, we've got to respond to the needs of others. The Good Samaritan, he responded, right? And then the next word is the word ministry. Christian empathy, response, and ministry in crisis. When we respond to someone, that's ministry too. But when I use the word ministry here, I'm using that word truth. Let us love in action and in truth. If we don't share the gospel with people, we haven't fully ministered to them. Let me say that again. If we don't share the gospel with people, we haven't really ministered to them fully. With everything they need. They have a felt need, that is, I'm hungry. They have a felt need, I'm hungry, I'm lonely. But the real need is Jesus. The real need is always for somebody to find Jesus and get to know Him and live a life in a relationship with Him. Someone was sharing earlier with me about this relationship that they have with Jesus and what a difference it's making in their lives. It will make a difference in your life. It will make a difference. It does make a difference. And if we don't share the gospel, if we don't share the full gospel of Jesus Christ with people, we haven't fully ministered to them. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, He, Jesus, has made us competent as ministers of the gospel. You don't have to go to seminary. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't even have to have read the whole Bible, right? If you can just know John chapter 3, if you can just start there, the Holy Spirit comes in. He makes us competent as ministers of the gospel. Acts 1:8 says, you will be my witnesses. Now you shall be, you can be, you ought to be. Hey, do you mind being my witnesses? No, you are my witnesses. This is plan B. You are plan B. Go tell somebody about me. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1 says, therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry that He's given us. We do not lose heart. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. As God will reconciling men through us, we're therefore God's ambassadors. And we implore you, right, to be saved. We implore you to be saved. We must minister the gospel of Jesus Christ in this crazy world we live in. He is the only thing that will make a difference. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is the only thing that will make a difference. Yes, by all means, feed the hungry. Clothe those who need clothes. And give water to those who are thirsty. And house those who need housing. But above all, share Jesus. Share Jesus. It says this man was robbed. He was robbed of his dignity and his destiny. He was robbed of his dignity and his destiny. And when we respond as a ceramic church in crises, whatever the crises may be, and there's lots of them, when we respond, we help restore a person's destiny where they're headed, because this man that got robbed, he was headed somewhere too. He woke up that morning at plan A, at point A. He was headed to plan B. And he got robbed on the way. His destiny was derailed and his dignity was taken from him. He was left naked. When we help restore someone, we restore their destiny where they were headed. And we restore their dignity. And that's the same thing Jesus has done for us. He's restored our destiny to live with him forever and ever in all eternity. But he's restored our dignity in that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for allowing us to be sons and daughters. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for making it possible for us to have that relationship. What an amazing gift you've given us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for reminding us of that gift and of our relationship. Now, come, Holy Spirit, help us this week to restore someone's destiny and dignity by responding to them and by responding to them in action and in truth. Give us courage to share Jesus with someone this week, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen.